So, how are we doing? Are we all right? Coffeed? Caffeinated? We've talked about remembering who God is, remembering our stories, and a little bit around letting go of the past. But the thing that I think is really, really good in that animation is around seeing the bigger picture. It's around the fact that we so easily get focused on something relatively small or insignificant that we lose sight of the bigger picture of what is going on. And I don't know if you noticed on the newspaper it said world poverty is ended and world peace. And then he's concerned about the fact that the barbed wire collectors convention has been cancelled. It's so easy for us to become fixated on the smaller things and to miss the bigger picture of what God is doing. So in our world today, there are some extremely challenging things that are occurring, aren't there? Some concerning and worrying things. And we can rightly probably get focused on those things. But somewhere behind those things is God's bigger picture. What is going on in our world is not a big surprise to God. It may be a surprise to us, but it's not a surprise to him. It says in scriptures, doesn't it, that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and division and fighting. All these things are going to happen. So if God knows, we need to make sure that we see the big picture and don't become fixated on what is relatively small things. We need to be able to see God's bigger picture. And one of the things that was a danger to the people in the exile was this danger, the danger of acclimatizing. In fact, I was having a conversation with Jonna about this over coffee. They stopped being able to imagine that anything could be different. I don't know if you're the sort of person that finds imagining easy or not. I remember watching, I shouldn't really confess to this, an edition of Escape to the Country. Now, some of you look like you might watch Escape to the Country occasionally. And and they were going around this house, and the woman said, we couldn't live here, it's got a round table. And the presenter was trying to say, well, You could move the round table, like the round table's like belongs to the previous owners. She could not move past the fact that it had a round table. She didn't want a round table. Maybe some people, they just can't see beyond the walls that are there, the decor that's there. And other people find it really easy to imagine what could be. Some of that's just personality, isn't it? Or experience. I live with somebody who's got good imagination for what could be, and I've learned to be much better imagining what could be. Our children have been indoctrinated from an early age, and I remember my daughter at 5 watching programs like House Restoration and commenting on the state of the kitchen, and it could be much better. They have just got it in their DNA. Some of us find imagining something else really, really difficult. We just look at what is, and we can't see beyond that. Others of us just acclimatize and we become like everything around us. We're kind of chameleon-like. We've had children in our youth group, I'm sure yours sadly are not any different, who say, well, we have 3 different languages. We have our language for home, our language for church, and our language for school. Because they feel they have to be like chameleons. They're not allowed to use, or it would be frowned upon for them to use certain language at home and in church, but that's the street language of their school, and to fit in, they feel like they need to do that. So we do that a bit, don't we? We acclimatise, we become like everyone around us. And the problem with acclimatising, because we obviously need to be able to relate to people, is that it dulls our imagination. And I know people outside tend to think that Christians are boring and black and white and kind of grey. But actually, life with Jesus is technicolour, isn't it? HD technicolour. It should be. the best kind of life, the most vibrant kind of life, the most brightly coloured, technicolour kind of life. And if we just acclimatise to everything around us, we all become the same. We all become kind of a neutral. And you know what happens if you mix loads of colours together? You end up with brown. I mean, I like brown, but you know, we don't want to be brown. We want to be vibrant and life-giving. And when we acclimatise, our imagination becomes dulled. So the people of Israel had lived in Babylon for quite a long time. And actually, living in Babylon was quite nice. I mean, like the gardens, hanging gardens of Babylon and all that. I mean, it had one of the wonders of the world. They built houses, they had gardens, they had crops, they got jobs, they had families, they lived there, they had a nice life. And they stopped imagining that God's future for them might be different. And so God speaks to them in Isaiah 43 with these really familiar words. I am doing a new thing. I'm about to do something new. Now that should have made them go, yippee, hooray. I'm not sure that they all felt like that. Some of them probably went, oh, we don't want to do anything new. Just want it to stay like it's always been. We're fine now, thank you. We've settled in, we've put down roots, we're at home. We don't want you to do anything new. And God says to them, can you perceive it? Can you perceive it? I have been reading these verses quite a bit recently. And in the Message version, it says, be alert. Be alert. And I find myself not being very alert to what God is doing, if I'm honest. You know, you just get on with what you're doing, don't you? You put your head down and you press on. And sometimes I don't feel very alert to what's happening. I find myself a little bit like what Chris was saying, really, either living in the past, things that I'm worried or concerned about or that have happened that I feel like I still need to resolve, or living in the future, not so much in an anxious way, but just in a sort of planning way, like I'm constantly thinking about what's happening next week and next month and what I need to prepare before Christmas, and I'm always ahead of the game. And I'm not always very good at living in the present moment, being alert to what God is doing right now, perceiving it. Can we see what God is already bringing about? Can we see that? I was just saying to Will, we're doing a study in Nehemiah at our church at the moment because of all the building stuff that we're doing. And we bought the building 2 years ago and we thought it was a good moment to kind of re-envision people and get them back on board for the next phase and all that. So we thought Nehemiah would be a good way of doing that. It's all about vision and planning, people working together and building and all that. On this occasion, we have been alert and we have seen what God is doing. Because God's agenda for our church teaching series on Nehemiah was to teach us about prayer. That wasn't our agenda, but it was his agenda. And we all came back, various of us, in September, all up and ready for Nehemiah. And we're still doing Nehemiah, but through it, God is really challenging us about prayer. And so we've started praying. I mean, that's good. It's a good response to the challenge about prayer, isn't it? And we've started seeing what God is saying, what he is doing through this. Now, we're not always as alert. We don't always perceive things as well. What can you see? We have a God of newness who's always doing new things. And we need to learn to see things differently. A couple of years ago, I gave in to the fact that my arms were no longer long enough and I had to get some of these. Probably for the first year I had them, they stayed in the box. Kind of a bit pointless having glasses that stay in the box, but I just couldn't get on with them. I couldn't get used to them. I had to sort of take time to get used to seeing things differently. I mean, I know that's the whole point with glasses, but I'd got so used to how my eyes worked without them that when I started wearing them, I just couldn't deal with them at all. I had to retrain my muscles because I'd stretched them so far seeing when really I should have had glasses a bit sooner that I had to wait and retrain them. I had to be patient and persistent. I also needed to just relax because it was as if I was trying to... Okay, so I was trying to make the effort to see with the glasses in the same way as I was making the effort to see without the glasses. Does that make sense to you? So I was kind of like doubly trying to see. And actually what I needed to do was kind of just relax. When we want to hear God or see what he's doing, at times we can just try too hard. We can kind of get ourselves all stressed about it. And normally, it's quite obvious. So I quite often have my best encounters with God and what he's trying to say to me, like driving to Tesco's or something like that, because I'm not trying. I'm just kind of open. And if I'm open and aware and alert to him, he speaks all of the time, not just when I'm really, really making a big effort to try to listen to him, when frankly, it all gets a bit hard work and I don't generally hear anything at all. I guess part of that is changing our expectations, that what life looked like through glasses was different than it looked without them. And it just took me a while. I also had to get used to feeling seasick for a bit. That's part of the reason I didn't wear them. Every time I put them on, I felt really, really sick. It's like, I don't like feeling sick, therefore I won't wear the glasses. If we like being in control of our lives and our church, if we like doing things the way that we've always done them, we might feel a bit queasy when God suggests that perhaps we should do them differently. And we might not like that. So we might stop listening. We might stop looking. But actually, I don't feel seasick anymore. And the more I wore them, the more used I got to how it was and things change. That's all a bit like spiritual discernment, isn't it? Which is like a really heavy kind of word for just listening, for just looking, for being alert to the things that God is saying and doing around us, sharing them with other people that we trust, and together going, we feel that maybe God is saying this. We feel maybe God is doing this. Maybe God is opening this door. Maybe God wants us to seize this opportunity. Maybe God wants me to step up and do this. And if you have other people around you who you know and who know you and you trust them, then together you work out, is this what God is saying? And sometimes you have to take a step and you have to be a bit brave and you have to push a few doors. And the worst thing of all is this. Sometimes you have to make mistakes. You know what? Making mistakes is a good thing. Making mistakes is not terminal. It's not final. It says you've tried. It says you've tried. It says you've pushed forward. You've wanted to go forward into the things of God. I often say to myself, what is the worst thing that can happen? And the worst thing is normally something like, I will look stupid. I probably look stupid anyway, so it's probably not that bad. That is generally the worst thing that can happen. I will look stupid. That idea we had will last for 6 weeks, not 6 years. We might lose a small amount of money. Probably right on the cusp of that one at the moment. What is the worst that can happen if we don't take a risk and go forward into the things that we trust that God is saying? It's better to take a risk than not to bother, isn't it? And I guess the things that prevent us from experiencing the bursting out of the Spirit of God, which is what Isaiah's talking about, isn't it? Because he's talking using the metaphor of water here. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wastelands. I mean, that's just like the best image ever. If you've been in a desert, if you live in a desert, and someone comes and brings streams of water. That is the best picture ever. That's what God wants to do. He wants for his Holy Spirit to come and break out in me, in you, in your church, in my church, in our communities, in all sorts of new ways. Because that brings life. So what prevents us from allowing that? Fear? Fear's a big one, isn't it? If I was to go around, and I promise that I won't do this, and say, what is the main thing that stops you wanting everything that God has for you in your own life and in your church? Some of you would tell me stories about, well, this happened the last time that I prayed a prayer like that. This happened the last time our church went down that kind of road. And most of those things would be wrapped up with the word fear. God's word says that his perfect love casts out all fear. This is a God who loves us, who loves you and your church, who loves your community more than you could ever imagine. And so who are we to let fear rule in our lives when God loves us and he wants the best for us? Sometimes the thing that we need to let go of is fear. Independence is a big one, isn't it? I think your community strikes me as being quite similar to mine. Many of you are very able, competent, independent, strong, all those kind of words, aren't you? And so the tendency is for us to be independent. We used to sorting things out, fixing things, making stuff happen, making it work, leading it, achieving it. And we carry on that with God as well, when actually our position in front of him is dependence. Dependence on him and interdependence with one another. Sin. I mean, it needs mentioning, doesn't it? Because actually the biggest barrier between us and the presence of God among us and breaking out into our community is sin. Now, I don't know if you need me to kind of detail that or whether you can just work that out for yourselves, but unforgiveness, gossip, grumbling, greed, any kind of sexual immorality. There's all manner of things, aren't there? And you'll know if you're sitting there and the Holy Spirit is bringing a conviction. But if there are things in us that are sinful, then we just simply need to repent. I mean, it's not like really hard. Just need to repent. Just need to come back to Jesus and say, I'm sorry, and let him clear that out. And if you think, well, it doesn't really matter because it's just me, then you're wrong. Because actually, we are the body of Christ, and the sin of each individual affects the whole. So you are not just responsible for yourself, but for the whole church. So that gets in the way, doesn't it? For the Israelites, disobedience, which for them was lacking their sacrifices to God. But in my own heart, I know sometimes I'm disobedient. I know God is speaking to me about something. I don't want to do it, so I don't do it. There's a lack of integrity in my own life before God. In our church, we've taken risks, terrifying, scary risks, because we've believed they were being obedient to God. That's the main thing, isn't it? Being obedient to him. And the other thing that got in the way of the people of Israel was that they trusted in idols. Do you remember it says about them looking to the idols that the wood carver is making? So he's making the idols out of wood and stone. He's making them and then he's going to worship them. How illogical is that? To bow down to something that you have made yourself, but don't we do that? Our money, our careers, even our families, our status, the style of church we are, the kind of worship we like. We make all our idols and then we worship them. God's challenge to us is to bow down to him alone, to worship him alone, to be obedient to him alone. Jesus is the head of the church. Not me or Jonathan or any other bright spark. It's just Jesus. He's the head of the church. It's his church. It belongs to him. But I've said all these things because actually what we want is for the Holy Spirit of God to be at work in us, isn't it? Okay, the odd yes would be great at this point. You know, I don't want to stay like this I am now. I mean, I have a good life and I enjoy my church, my ministry, but this is not enough. I want to see God more at work in me. I don't want to be the same person next year that I am now. Because I know there's still loads of rough edges to knock off and changes to be made in my character and ways that I need to know God deeper and experience his Holy Spirit more. My church is fab, but it's not yet where we want to be. I want to see people queuing up outside the church because they've heard that Jesus is in the church, because they want to meet him. Because they see that this is a place where they find restoration and hope and renewal and life and healing in every dimension of who they are. Wouldn't that be brilliant? We need to see that. In our nation that is dogged by terrorism and tribalism and division and fear, we need to see God's Holy Spirit bringing reconciliation and peace. Shalom, well-being, peace, and wholeness, and restoring communities to one another, and releasing people from debt, and creating a climate in which people can't be sex traded within different communities or to different nations. There's a long way to go, isn't there? And the church is the hope for the world, and we need to see the Spirit of God breaking out. So, I'm going to give you a couple more challenges, because we have 3/4 of an hour, which is a good amount of time. Right, I'm going to go back to the old challenge for a moment. So, for those of you who need to take some time to remember the good things that God has done, here's an option. I've got a pile of thank you cards down here. They're all various. You could take one and you could write a thank you card to God. This is all about engaging. Okay, sometimes doing slightly strange things is a good way of engaging. Write a thank you card to God, because that will help you to crystallize the things that you want to say thank you to him about. All right, so that's one thing. Get your compass, and you could look north. That's still remembering who God is. You could look to the west, because perhaps for some of you, that letting go thing is the key thing that God is speaking to you about this weekend. And you don't need to be worrying about anything else just now other than the letting go thing. Okay? So just spend some time doing that, praying, sitting quietly, all of that kind of thing. If you need someone to pray with you, I'm sure you don't have to wait till 5 o'clock this evening. I'm sure that someone will pray with you if that's a helpful way of you moving forward. The third thing is at the back on the floor near the easel thing is two boxes of white tiles. And in this here, right, okay, you can only do this if you promise me something, that you will bring every one of these pens back to me, all right? Do not nick them, because that is sin, all right? these are Sharpie pens. I would really like it if every person could take one white tile, and at some point in the next 40 minutes, I want you to write on it two things. The first thing I would like you to write on it is, what do you see? Okay, what do you see? So you need to spend a little bit of time, or maybe immediately I've said that, you've gone, I know what that is. Or spend a bit of time. Don't judge yourself before you put something down. Just put it down. What do you see? What is God showing you, or about the church, or about your community? What do you see? And the second thing I want you to do is to write on that, What do you bring? What do you bring? This church is the body of believers, or at least some of them, in Lynn Baptist Church. What do you bring? So on that tile, something about what do you see, something about vision, and something about what do you bring to that. Now, if you look on the compass eastwards, that asks a few questions that might help you to answer that particular question as you go along. So what's on the horizon? What are we called to embrace in a new or different way? What are we called to take hold of in a new way? So some of those kind of things. So are you all with me?
Yes.
Excellent. So we're going to have a bit of space. I want you to go get a tile, grab a pen. There's lots of different colours. You can even take two for a while and then bring them back again. But take some time now to respond to those three things. Remember, don't dwell on the past, and see, be alert to what I am doing. And at some point or other, we'll probably start to do some worship songs as well. And then you can either join in and sing, or you can just stay where you are, because this is about you and your chance to respond to God before we go into the afternoon and all the madness of the rest of the day. This is about responding to God. So can I just pray for you? And then we'll put everything out. Father, we pray that in this place, your Holy Spirit would have freedom to work in us and with us. Father, we ask that you would give us open hearts to you as we take this time together. We ask that you would remind us of things that are important today. We pray, Lord, that where your Spirit is bringing conviction, you would simply help us to just respond to you. And Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, our discernment, our perception of the things that you see, the things that you are doing. We pray that you give us vision, Lord, this morning. For our own lives, if that's what we need, for your church in this place. Lord, give us a sensitivity to your Spirit and to all that you are saying to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.